Coming up on the Rami LaVie podcast, we're back, boys, and so is the NFL season. Football starts tonight. Chiefs, Lions. I predicted every single team's over under their win total, what I think they're going to do, the division champs, who's going to win divisions, who's going to make the playoffs, who's going to win the Super Bowl. I gave you six bold predictions for the NFL season. I picked Thursday Night Football, picked the game, and I also gave you my picks for all the NFL players and coaches awards this year. Plus, if you listen closely, I threw in a few futures bets in there. And I started off, by the way, I started the podcast talking about my night at Yankee Stadium tonight. It was really fun. Got to meet a couple of legends. So all that and a whole lot more coming up next. This is the Rami LaVie podcast. It's all coming up right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One of the things I talk about on this podcast a lot is the stigma against mental health. I think, unfortunately, there has been a stigma, but we're slowly breaking it. And if you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, overwhelmed, or maybe you just want to talk to someone, today's sponsor, BetterHelp, is here to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help. Talk to your therapist in a private online environment at your convenience. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help access your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Plus, you can exchange unlimited text messages, and everything you share is completely confidential. So I talk about on this podcast how your mindset towards things changes everything. One of the things that I learned in therapy was that join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Rami. That's my first name. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Rami, my first name, Rami. If you use that link, the link is in the description in the podcast notes. If you use that link, you'll get 10% off and it'll also help me out. So please do that. I'm telling you, it's worth it. Do it today. Welcome back to the Rami LaVie podcast presented by BetterHelp, episode 161. I'm back and better than ever. There's a lot to talk about. By the way, it's appropriate that's episode 161. Just came from 161st Street in the Bronx, where I got to see the Yankees win their fifth straight game, and I can talk about it all I want. I could talk all day long about the Yankees. We'll do a full season recap and review once the season ends, because God knows where it's going to go. They just won five in a row after the season was dead and buried. They were four games under 500. I've never seen a Yankee season go under 500 in my lifetime. So now they're back over 500. They're 70-69. And thank you, WFAN, for the opportunity to go to the Yankee game and then to meet John Sterling. As you know, if you've been listening and following me on social media, I've been working with John and Susan the last few weeks on WFAN on the Yankees Radio Network, and the opportunity to meet two absolute legends and people that I grew up. I know Keith one time told Susan that she's like his Yankee grandma. She didn't like that, so I did not tell her that, but I did have a nice conversation with her. We played some Jewish geography. It was awesome. We had a wonderful time, and John was so cool, telling stories about his career, asking me about mine. We talked a lot about the origin of my name, my family name, Rami LaVie, not the most common name out there. And it was super cool just getting to watch them do their thing. I only stuck around for the pregame. Once the pregame was over, I went downstairs because I had field level seats, courtesy of WFAN, right behind home plate. So obviously, I was not going to miss out on that and all the good food down there, of course. So once the game started, I went downstairs after what John called. Well, I left when John got up because he finishes his portion of the post game. He goes, coming up next is New York Yankees baseball on the WFAN New York Yankees Radio Network. And then they go to break. Well, first, they play a bunch of spots, which John also made a funny joke about. He's like, spot, 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 spot. And then they get on air, and all he reads is PSAs anyway. I was like, dude, this is one long PSA. He's like, oh, tell me about it. I'm like, you should know this by now. You've been doing this much longer than me. But it was cool. I walked in, and Matt, I guess he's the engineer or producer, studio, the in-booth producer. He goes, This is Rami Lavie, who always, you know, you, and John goes, Rami, I've said your name so many times. I wanted to put a face to it. And it was just cool that the interaction that he had, that he said that he was aware. He just like knew who I was, I guess, right away. It was so cool. They were both awesome. They were super cool to talk to and meet. And just a super cool, super awesome, wholesome like experience with two people that when you want to meet people. I've talked about this with Mike Breen. I've talked about this with so many people, Craig Carton, that I've met and have been lucky enough to meet in this industry, that you have a certain image of how you hope they would be. And then when they exceed it and go beyond that, it's super cool. And John certainly exceeded my wildest expectations. Just every commercial break, every time he wasn't on air, he sat down, including. So he gets up. I started telling the story. He gets up after the broadcast is over and he walks over to where I'm standing. I'm kind of standing off to the side next to their table, watching them do their thing. And they're heading to, it's like a long, like, you know, they play a bunch of ads. The Yankee pregame show is brought to you by, and then it's a bunch of things, and there's a 2-minute commercial break, and then you come back with Yankee baseball is brought to you by, it's another long thing, and then Susan says welcome back, and they vamp for about 10 minutes before the game starts. So it ends at about 55, or sorry, at about 650 for a 705 first pitch. About 650, John gets off the air. The last thing he says is it's about 15 minutes before Yankee baseball. Geico reminds you 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Now coming up next, New York Yankees baseball. And then during those 15 minutes, he doesn't go on air again till stepping up to the microphone is the voice of the New York Yankees, John Sterling, and he goes on to start the Yankee game. And he stepped aside and steps towards the back of the booth to leave towards the door. And he goes to me, he looks at me and says, now's the part of the broadcast where Susan takes over and bullshits for 20 minutes before the game starts. And I was just that, I'm like, that's really funny. It was just funny how he said it. He was kind of busting Susan's balls a little bit the whole time, making like taking little jabs, just making fun of her. I did not bring up that I caught her on a hot mic. We didn't talk about it on this podcast, but a couple weeks ago, a story came out. I think Awful Announcing wrote a story about how Susan Waldman, this was the word when the Yankees were losing 9 in a row, Susan Waldman goes in the middle of a commercial break. Well, it wasn't a middle of a commercial break. It was coming back from a commercial break. We had her mic turned on and the mic caught her say, God, this is boring, which it was. They were playing poorly. It wasn't my fault. I did not bring it up to Susan, though. I was too scared to say anything, to say, hey, ruffle any feathers. I didn't want to get mad in trouble again if he already got yelled at by her. So I didn't say anything. But John was really fun, and they were both really nice and really cool to have a conversation with. Susan's asking about, you know, my Jewish heritage and where my parents are from and where they go to shul and all these different things. And my grandmother who lives in the city and all these different things. So it was really, really fun to have a conversation with both of them and just to hang out with them for about 45 minutes and also watch what they do, watch them do their craft. They're such professionals. They're so cool. So that was awesome tonight. And then I went downstairs and watched Jason Dominguez get three hits. And Peraza get three hits. And Dominguez hit a bullet home run. I'm so happy for John because he nailed it right away. He could tell off the bat that it was a piss missile. I bet Jason Dominguez anytime home run because I can bet baseball now. Yeah, that's right. So I bet Jason Dominguez anytime home run. I hit Jason Dominguez anytime home run as he lifting one out of the ballpark. There were about 8,000 fans there. One of the other things John and Susan were laughing about. Susan's like, oh, it's great. I get out of here in 20 minutes. I get home. There's no issues. There's no traffic. It's the best. John was saying, yeah, there's less people here than there were last night. And it's fantastic because all the lines were short. We got to the food on time. I didn't use the bathroom during the game. I'm probably dehydrated as hell. I didn't drink that much water, but I didn't have to get up. I didn't have to leave my seat too many times. But when we did, the lines were short. Everything moved quickly. So we missed, but there was a 1-2-3 top of the inning that we were at the concession stand for. And we got back to our seat at right before the bottom of that inning to see Jason Dominguez lead off and hit the home run. So that was super, super cool. Awesome experience. And then, like I said, the Yankees win their fifth in a row. Who knows? Don't look now. They're getting hot. They're 6.5 out of a playoff spot. Who knows what's going to happen? I certainly don't. We'll talk about my career and what's happening with me, thankfully. And thank you to WFAN and to so many people who supported me and reach out to me. It's really awesome to hear. It's cool to hear people reach out to you when things are going well and you're announcing something really awesome is happening in your life and in your career. It's even cooler to have people reach out to you when you say that things aren't necessarily going that great. I did have to explain to a lot of people that, no, things are still looking on track and my career is looking fine. It's just that I won't be with Major League Baseball anymore, something that was becoming more and more evident as the season went on that this was probably going to be done after the season. I was hoping to catch back on with them starting next baseball season. I did enjoy what I did there, but you know, for reasons that were never explained to me other than you violated your contract by talking about baseball, which they knew I was doing on WFAN, but they never said anything negative about it. I had countless conversations with managers. Other than that, they never said anything. I just got a call from HR, and so I don't think I burned any bridges. I have my relationships with my bosses, my managers there, and even some of the on-air talent who I spoke to, I have good relationships with. So, you know, I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine. I'm finding other ways to fill my time with my podcast, with this podcast, the podcast I've been pumping out on the Believe Network. If you haven't heard it yet, go listen to In-Flight Snack. It's awesome. We have 9 great episodes out right now. There'll be a 10th episode coming out before the Jets game on Monday night. And all week next week, I'll be working on CBS Sports Radio, which you can find on the Odyssey app. I'm not even sure where you can find it on the FM or AM dial. I'll have to find out because I'm working there. So on the Odyssey app, though, you can listen to CBS Sports Network. I'm going to be working with my buddy Zach Gelb on the Zach Gelb Show. So that's going to be super cool starting next week, and more opportunities at WFAN, more opportunities at The Fan and elsewhere keep coming up. And so I'm grateful to everyone who's helped me and reached out to me. It's super cool. And I just feel super supported, and that's what's awesome. And people, so many people have took the time to say, dude, this is, don't worry, you're killing it. You're really doing a great job. You know, don't worry about them. You'll get the next thing. And it means a lot. It truly does mean a lot to me. So to this podcast, what we're going to do, a full NFL preview. It starts, by the time you're listening to this, today. It's actually midnight right now. It's 12:01. And today, the NFL season starts. We have the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, MVP, the highest flying offense in the league. Even without Tyreek Hill, they were the number one offense last year. They won the Super Bowl. Nothing mattered. An ankle injury for Mahomes couldn't hold them back. The last time we saw him on a field, he was willing his way to victory in consecutive weeks. He had the most perfect game ever played in a Super Bowl that he played against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they win the Super Bowl. And now they're going to be going against, I'd say, the second to most hyped team in the NFL this season, and that is the Detroit Lions, who are coming in super hyped. Everyone believes in them. They're the favorites to win their division. We'll get into the division in a second, who I think is going to win the NFC North. Spoiler, I'm not picking the Lions, but they are super hyped for I don't know what reason. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the game. We'll talk about every division other than the AFC East. I'm going to do right by my other platform and my other podcast and by the Believe Network. And we will have a full AFC East prediction and preview. We did a full Jets preview where we went game by game for the whole season. We did that already on the other podcast, so go check that out. We'll preview and pick the game and do bets for the game on the In-Flight Snack podcast. So go find it wherever you get your podcast on the Believe Network. It's available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find. If you follow me on social media, you can go get the links or just hit me up. I'll send you the link to In-Flight Snack if you want to hear about the AFC East. If you want to hear about every other team in the league, if you want to hear about all other divisions in the league, if you want a preview for Thursday Night Football between the Chiefs, the home opener, the season opener between the Chiefs and the Lions, that's coming up right now. So let's get right into this in a second.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I mentioned the NFC North, so why not start there? I didn't know where I was going to start. We got the NFC North. Let's talk about it. I have my notes in front of me. By the way, also on the other podcast, talked about Hard Knocks. We talked about Aaron Rodgers. We talked about so many things. Nathaniel Hackett, the Giants beef, all that stuff. It's super cool. It's an awesome podcast. In-Flight Snack. Check it out. I can't tell you enough. Let's start with the NFC North, and I have Minnesota here. They're over-under for games one in the division, or games one total on the season is 8.5. And I'm going way over. This is one of my favorite bets. Minnesota is going to win 12 games this year. I went through their schedule. And basically what I did was, super cool website, don't remember the name of it, where you go to every game on the NFL schedule and you click win or loss. And it's hard to predict now, but I basically estimated and moves things around. Then at the end, it all comes out to 252 and 252, comes out even, and shows you what you had at the end of it after 17 weeks, who won all these games, who lost all these games, and it gives you the playoff matchups based on that and the division leaders and all that stuff based on that. So it's a really cool site. Check it out. I used it. It was super fun. It was super easy to use, super cool. So definitely would advise someone using that. And so for the NFC North, I have Minnesota winning the division and running away with it 12-5. Way over the 8.5. I have a bet, a parlay. I think it's Minnesota and Jacksonville. Sneak preview of the AFC South. I have Minnesota and Jacksonville both to win 10 plus games. That's a parlay. I don't remember what the payout was, but I love that parlay. I love that future. Minnesota was plus 260. They were not the favorite. They were second favorite to win the division. I have them at plus 260 winning the division. Go bet it. It's a good bet. Detroit's not going to be bad. I don't think they're winning week one, even with Travis Kelce out, and we'll get to that in a second. But I think they'll go over. Their number is 9.5, which is high. And I mentioned this on my podcast yesterday on the In-Flight Snack. There are 8 teams in the NFL that their number is at 9.5. And one thing that all these 8 teams have in common is that these are teams that could go way over and end up winning 13 or 14 games. And these are teams that could totally plummet and end up winning 3 to 4 games because of disaster. I don't think the Lions will be a disaster. They'd start off the season 1-6 last year. We know they weren't good to start. They went on a run. They still lost to some bad teams. They lost to a bad Carolina team late in the season. But I do think in a weak NFC, they'll be 10-7. There's no Rodgers in that division. There's no one they're really fearful of. You don't think Minnesota's going to win every one score game again. Even though I have them at 12-5, I have Detroit going over the 9.5 and winning 10 games and finishing in second place in that division. In third place, I have the Green Bay Packers. Their number is 7.5. They're over under, and I have them going over as well at 9-8. I do think the Packers, I think Jordan Love, I think two things can be true at once. A lot of people are saying, oh, are they happy to get be rid of Rodgers and rid of that nuance? And now finally they can move forward and they can be a really good team. And they can focus on who they are and all that stuff. And Rodgers is going to struggle in New York, because I believe that Rodgers has a chip on his shoulder and he's going to do well in New York. I also believe that it was time for the Packers to move on, and they'll do fine with Jordan Love. They trust him. They've proven that they've done this before. They're a well-run organization. When Aaron Rodgers, when it was time for him to leave, or when Brett Favre, it was time for him to leave, Rodgers stepped in and was good right away. That team was good. It wasn't right away, but it was almost right away. So I'm not expecting this team to be a playoff team or anything, but 9-8, I think they're a good enough team. It's about what they were last year. They're a good enough team to maintain that. I think Jordan Love will have some good games. He'll have some games where he struggles a bit, just like any new young quarterback would. Not a rookie, but new young quarterback would. He does have some experience. He's looked good in the limited experience that he has. I like Christian Watson. I like Romeo Doubs. Decent receivers, not great receivers. I kind of like what they have there. Their defense should be really solid. Their offensive line is solid. I like them at 9-8. Chicago. And this is one of the things where I was not trying to get them to lose a ton of games, but when I went through their schedule, I was like picking wins and losses. This is what I came out with. 6-11. Their number's 7.5, so that's way under. I thought Chicago, and this happened a few times where I was kind of picking games, and I'm like, at the end of it, I looked at it, and I was like, huh. I didn't mean to make this team this bad. So I do think Chicago could win something in the 6-8 range. And the same thing goes for Green Bay. Green Bay could end up winning only 7 games. I think they'll be in the 7-9 win range. I'm pretty certain Minnesota will be 11-12. Detroit's going to be about 10. And then, which I like the over slightly over 9.5. Although I could see them having a tie in there and being like 9-7-1, classic Detroit. But I like Green Bay to have 7-9 wins. And I like Chicago to have maybe 6-8 wins. But 6 wins was what I came out with when I went through game by game. And that's what it looked like. So that's where I have them at now. We talked about the AFC South for a minute, and this is one of my favorite bets. They're the favorites to win the division at minus 155, but I have them going way over. Their over-under for win total is 9.5. The Jacksonville Jaguars, hold on to your seats here. I have them winning the division at 14-3. I have them winning 6 games in the division against those division opponents. I don't think they're particularly good. I like their head coach. I like their wide receivers. I love their quarterback. We'll get to my award predictions a little bit later. Spoiler alert, he's going to be there. He's going to win one of these awards. He took a major step last year. He built massive confidence by having a major comeback against a guy who's also considered one of the best young quarterbacks in the league in a playoff game. I love Jacksonville this year. I love Trevor Lawrence. And I think Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win 14 games, 14-3. I have Tennessee still being solid. Tennessee's over under a 7.5. And by the way, Jacksonville's another one of those teams, 9.5 that we talked about. People are high on them, but it could be that they'll be really, you know, if a couple things go wrong, Lawrence is still young. Peterson has had some issues in the past, got ran out of Philly. That team could also end up being one of the bad teams, one of the playoff teams from last year that doesn't make it this year. I don't think that's the case. I do see Tennessee finishing at 10-7, second in the division, solid team. I don't think this team's going to be bad. I don't think there's great talent on that team anymore. I don't love Ryan Tannehill. Treylon Burks is a solid receiver. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is what he once was. I still think Derrick Henry is dominant, and I'll believe that till I see otherwise. Like, I have no reason to think DeAndre Hopkins is not, or Derrick Henry is not going to be dominant again. The way he's built to last. And so I love him. And I have them winning over 7.5 games, well over. I think it's a safe bet to bet them over 7.5. They'll win 10 games. All these lines, by the way, courtesy of FanDuel. Not a sponsor yet, but that doesn't mean they won't be in the future. Number three in the division with three wins. Their over-under is 6.5. And I think Indiana or Indianapolis and Houston, both their over-unders are at 6.5 because they're in a bad division, because they play bad teams on their schedule. Yet I still don't think they're going to win a lot of games. I'm pretty sure they play the NFC West, if I'm not mistaken, which is a pretty bad NFC division. I still don't see a ton of wins on that schedule. I think it's similar to Justin Fields last year, where Anthony Richardson will impress. He'll run all over the place, but he'll throw a lot of interceptions. They won't win a lot of games. We'll be coming out of a lot of games where their highlights are on SportsCenter the next day, and then afterwards it says, yeah, but they lost. Kind of like we did with Jalen Hurts, or I keep saying Jalen Hurts. No, Justin Fields. Sorry, I apologize. I was talking about Justin Fields, the Bears quarterback. Lots of highlights, very few production, very few productive outings, very few wins. We saw it. I had the podcast, my viral clip last year where I said, the only thing that Justin Fields is better at than his incredible runs is how he always, always makes sure they lose every game. Lots of people dislike that, but I think that is going to be the Anthony Richardson story this year. I don't have him in either of my fantasy leagues. I got outbid for him in my auction draft. He got taken ahead of me. I took J.K. Dobbins ahead of him for some stupid reason, even though I had him on my list ahead of J.K. Dobbins. No one cares about your fantasy team. I don't care. I'm mad. I had him on my list ahead of J.K. Dobbins, and I took J.K. Dobbins ahead of him for no reason. I was being stupid. I wasn't paying attention. But I think he'll be really good fantasy-wise. I still think he'll throw a lot of picks. He'll run for a lot of yards. He'll throw a lot of touchdowns. He'll run for a lot of touchdowns. He'll be up and down like any rookie quarterback would be, and I see them winning three games, going 3-14, and that means the last-place team in the division is worse than that. And I have Houston being 1-16. I don't care that your coach is DeMeco Ryans. He's a great player. He was fun. He's not a great coach. We don't know that he's a great head coach. They're over under 6.5. I'd go way under. I actually bet them. This is one of my favorite bets also. I'll give it to you right now. I bet Houston to have the worst record in football. Now, a lot of people are betting the money on the heavy favorite, which is the Arizona Cardinals. And I understand why the Cardinals are favorite. It makes sense that the Cardinals are favorite. They're not a very good team. The thing about that is the Cardinals play in an easy, weak division. Now, you could say, so does Houston. Well, Houston plays in the AFC. A much tougher conference. And whereas the Cardinals play in the NFC, and I trust Josh Dobbs. Now, a lot of people are watching videos of their head coach and saying, oh my God, this guy's not going to win a single game this year. And I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about my pick. But because Arizona, I don't think, is winning more than three games, right? They're 4.5 is their over under. I'll give it to you right now. 4.5 is their over under. I think they go under also. I just don't see Houston winning more than two games. So I think Arizona wins 3 or 4, Houston wins 2 or 3. And that's how I have it falling out. And that's how Houston's going to cash that awesome bet for me, minus, or I guess that they're under 4.5 wins and they are the worst record in football. I mentioned the NFC West, so let's head back to the NFC and talk about the NFC West. And winning that division with the best record in football, minus 165 to win the division. This is an easy, heavy favorite. It's not crazy to pick the favorites. I'm sorry. No, deal with it. Their over-under for wins is 10.5. The San Francisco 49ers, I have them going way over. Easy conference. They're the class of the NFC. I have them going 15-2 this year. I don't even remember who I picked them to lose those two games against. Doesn't matter. 10.5, easy, easy money. if their quarterback's Brock Purdy, if their quarterback's Sam Darnold, if they put me out there, I don't care. They're going 15-2, and they're probably headed back to the NFC Championship game at least. They're one of the best teams in the NFC. It's impossible to, or I shouldn't say impossible, it's very difficult to repeat and go back to the Super Bowl. It's why people don't do it other than Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. But I don't see them doing it, or I don't see Philly necessarily going back to the Super Bowl. We'll get to my Super Bowl pick a little bit later. It's going to be tough. I like San Francisco a lot this year. Minus 165 to win the NFC West and over the 10.5 wins in the win total. Seattle, I have at second in the division. I have them taking a very big step back. Not huge record-wise, but they started to falter towards the end of the year. And I think the Germany game was one of the games they won where they came back late or whatever, or Tom Brady came back late on them, something like that. It was one or the other. I think it was Brady came back late on them. But they started to falter. Geno Smith is starting to right back a little bit. Yeah, he ain't right back. And there was in my auction fantasy football league, there was a auction bid off. There was a bidding war for Geno Smith, for the services of Geno Smith as a quarterback in my fantasy football league. To me, that's crazy. But I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. And Geno Smith, people are still high on them. I don't see it. I am very high on Pete Carroll. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. But I have them at 8-9. Their over-under is 8.5. I wouldn't bet it. That's a stay away to me. I could see them winning 9 games. 8.5 to me is a stay away for Seattle. It's a tough one to call. The Rams over-under is 6.5, so they have them being a little better. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last year, but somehow when I went through it, I still have them winning 3 games. I still think they're kind of like, hey, Matt Stafford, you got us. You want us a Super Bowl. We're good. I see halfway through that season, Aaron Donald's going to be gone. He's going to be traded. I see it happening. I don't think they're going to be competing that heavy. Sean McVay might leave. I did a full, if you want to hear this, on In-Flight Snack. I don't know if you heard. I have another podcast called In-Flight Snack on the Believe Podcast Network. I don't know if I mentioned it. And you can listen to a full head coach's ranking. I touched a little bit on Sean McVay and the Rams situation. I think it's the type of situation where they gave away all their talent. They gave away all their draft picks for this one Super Bowl. They sold out. They got it. Cooper Kupp's dealing with a hamstring injury. He's seeing a specialist in another state for a hamstring injury. I don't think they're going to be seeing a lot of Cooper Kupp this year. I think it's going to be very difficult for him to find the field. He's going to be on and off. And I think that will ultimately lead them down a bad path. And ultimately, I think they win only 3 games. Arizona, I mentioned, 4.5 is their over-under. I am comfortable taking that bet. I'm very comfortable taking the Rams under 6.5 bet, by the way. They're not winning 7 games. Even if they win 6, they're not winning 7. So can they win as many as 6? I have them between 3 and 6 wins this year, sure. But they're not winning 7. I have the Rams under 6.5. And Arizona, I have under 4.5. I think that's a pretty safe bet. Again, they could win 4 games. They can win 3 or 4 games. I do think, hopefully, they'll have more wins than Houston, but I don't see them winning a lot of games. So that's, I have them at 3-14, also pretty much tied with the Rams in the NFC West. Where to go next? Let's stay in the NFC, and let's go with the NFC South. We already did the AFC South. We did the NFC West. We did the NFC North. Let's go to the NFC South. Why not? New Orleans is the favorite to win the division at plus 130. So it's still plus money for a favorite. And I like it. They have a very, very soft schedule. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL. If you look at the quarterbacks they're facing, it's an extremely, extremely easy schedule. I like it a lot. Their over-under is 9.5. I take the over. I'm nervous about it because I have them at 10 wins, at 10-7. I could see them going 11-6. I think the better bet them at plus 130 to win the division. I think that's a good bet for you. I think they're going to win the division. I think they're the best team in that division, and I think they have the easiest schedule. I don't think this is confirmed. They have the easiest strength of schedule in the NFL. Bet them at plus 130 to win the NFC South. They're going to host a playoff game. Yeah, the Saints and Dennis Allen and Derek Carr are going to host a playoff game. Take them at plus 130 to win that division. Number 2 in the division, I didn't hate them last year. I do have Carolina. Young quarterback behind a bad offensive line. I don't know how this ended up happening. I have them between 6 and 8 wins, but somehow they came out as 6 for me. When I look at the rosters, I like Atlanta's roster a lot better, especially the weapons on the offensive side. Kyle Pitts, obviously Drake London, the rookie Bijan Robinson, and Desmond Ridder could be better than Bryce Young in his first year, Ridder in his second year. For some reason, the over-under is 7.5. I wouldn't bet the over. It's a stay away for me. I would not bet the over 7.5 on Carolina, but I have them finishing between 6 and 8 wins ahead of Atlanta. Atlanta, their over-under is 8.5. People are high on them. The second highest over-under in the division. I take the under. I think they're a 4-7 win team. I think they're a pretty bad team this year, even with the weapons I mentioned and the people on their team I mentioned. I still think they're a pretty bad team. Just based on when I went through their schedule, there's a lot of losses in there. That's what I felt. And Tampa, their over-under is 6.5. Baker, sorry. I don't trust you. I think Mike Evans will be out halfway through the season. Who knows about Chris Godwin? 6.5 is the line. I go way under. I see them winning 2-4 games. Really that low. Maybe 5. Maybe somehow they find the 5th win in that schedule. I see this being a really tough year for Tampa. And similar to the Rams, this is the kind of team that they were like, hey, we sold out for the Super Bowl. We're fine. We're good. So we talked about that. Let's head over back to the AFC West because we talked about a couple teams from there. We talked about the Chiefs. We talked about the Chargers. The Chiefs are -180 to win the division. Their over-under is 11.5. This is the first year that I'm a little bit iffy on that over-under, but I'll take them to win the division. Kansas City, 13-4 is what I have them at. I'm a little bit nervous of their offense. Yeah, last year was no Tyreek Hill. This year might be no Hill or no Travis Kelce for some time. So I'm a little bit nervous about that. I still trust Patrick Mahomes. I just don't know who he's throwing the football to. They also lost Mecole Hardman. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster. Not that those guys were huge impact guys for them, but they were just guys. At least you had someone. Now, especially without Kelce, I don't love them. So maybe 12-5 I see them coming in at, but I have them between 11 and 13 wins. And that's why the 11.5 is a little bit scary for me. I do think they'll still win the division. In second place, this is going to shock you. I have a tie in there, but I have Denver winning 7 games. I don't know why, but somehow it just felt right when I was going through it. I have them at 7-9-1, winning 7 games, 9 losses, 1 tie. You'll hear in a second who the tie is. Their over-under for wins is still 8.5. I still trust the under. Don't worry. That's an easy under for me. I think Denver will definitely win under 8.5 games, under 9 games. But I have them at 7-9-1 at second place in that division. You're probably thinking, what about the Chargers? What about the Chargers? I have them at 7-10. Their over-under is 9.5. I think it's an easy under. I don't think this team is a playoff team. I think they're really poorly coached. I think after you blow a game like that in the playoffs, it's tough to come back to your team as the quarterback. It's tough to come back to your team as the head coach and look them in the eye and try and convince them that you're the right man for the job. I don't think that Kellen Moore coming in as the offensive coordinator is all of a sudden solving everything for them. There's still issues there, especially with the head coach. I think Kellen Moore, if you want to bet first coach fired, I'd bet that Brandon Staley is the first coach fired this year. That's a good bet for you. I don't know what the odds are. Find him and bet it because I think he's going to be fired midseason. I think Kellen Moore might end up being the head coach of that team. I don't have them being awful. I still think that offense with Eckler and obviously with Herbert. And if Keenan Allen's healthy and Mike Williams is healthy, those guys also, if those guys are all healthy, I still see them having a pretty good offense. I just have them at 7-10. Not being a great team, not making the playoffs, 7-10 for them and under the 9.5 win total in third place in that division. Las Vegas is coming in last. I don't see Las Vegas making the playoffs. They're the only one of three teams that I can say them, Indianapolis, and Houston are pretty much the teams that I could say with certainty are not making the playoffs. I have them at 3-14. They're over under 6.5. I don't trust Jimmy G, especially Tom Brady looking over his shoulder again. If you wanted to bet a second coach, maybe there's a way if there's a parlay. This could be a really cool parlay. Or I don't know if it's a parlay, but first division to have a head coach fired from, I pick the AFC West because I think those are two really good candidates, Josh McDaniels and Brandon Staley. So if there's a bet, if you could somehow find this first division to have a coach fired in it of the 8 divisions, I love the AFC West in that spot. I think McDaniels might get fired this year as well. They will be 3-14, about under 6.5 is easy for me. Let's talk about what I think is one of the best divisions of football staying in the AFC, and let's talk about the AFC North. Cincinnati to win the division is +150. I like it. That's a good bet. Their total again is 11.5. I think you can take the over on that. I think they win 12 games. I just don't love, you heard me on this podcast last year, I don't love huge numbers. I don't love betting huge numbers. You're safe with +150 for them to win the division. I like Pittsburgh a lot this year. I like Baltimore a lot this year. I even like Cleveland this year. So maybe Cincinnati only wins 12, 11 games. But I think them to win the division is fine. I do have Baltimore, and this is crazy, also at around 12 to 13 wins. Their over-under is 10.5. Bet the over. I think you could comfortably bet the over. If you're scared about Mahomes' injury, or not Mahomes, but Lamar Jackson injury, I get it. I understand it. But I wouldn't be too fearful of a Lamar Jackson injury. I think he's going to be fine. I like them at second place in this division, at right there with Cincinnati at the end, either tied for the division lead and losing a tiebreaker, or in second place with 12 wins. I really like Baltimore a lot this year. I think J.K. Dobbins' second year back, I'm praying because I am in fantasy, but I'm hoping J.K. Dobbins' second year back is going to be really good. Second year off the ACL, that's how it always is with these guys. I talked about this on my other podcast. I don't know if you heard, I have another podcast called In Flight Snack. It's a New York Jets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. And on that podcast, is that joke not hitting? Like, maybe it's just not funny. I don't have a studio audience with me. Can I get some laughs in here? Sarcasm. I don't know. Maybe it's funny. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just 12:30 in the morning after a long day. 12:30 at night. I don't know what you call it anymore. AM. Right. So back to this. Baltimore, I like J.K. Dobbins' second year. I talked about that on the podcast, how he would have the burst, the initial burst. He'd find the hole, burst through the hole, and then he'd just wear down. And in this, and like, he couldn't didn't have the breakaway speed. Had the initial burst speed, but didn't have the breakaway speed. I think now he should have the breakaway speed back. I think he'll be really good. I think Odell will be fine. I don't think he'll be great. And I think Lamar will be motivated with a new contract to still prove the haters wrong and to live up to that new contract. It's a different kind of pressure than trying to earn the contract, the pressure of living up to the contract. I think he will live up to the contract. I think Zay Flowers will be a really good receiver for them. I know a lot of people in Baltimore are very high on him, and I have them going 13-4 or 12-5 and going over the 10.5 and being second place in that division. In third place, I have another team that I really, really like. I just think they might just miss the playoffs, and that's Pittsburgh. I have Pittsburgh winning 10 games. Their over-under is 8.5. They're trying to get you. They know that's a perfect line for them because they know people want to bet that Tomlin's going to keep having his winning season. But is this the year it fails? They have them right there, but I like what I saw from Kenny Pickett last year. I think him and George Pickens, I think George Pickens has a chance to be one of the best receivers in football this year. That's forgetting about his target share and that it was low compared to some of the other guys. Just Freiermuth. This defense is going to be solid. I'm not a huge Najee Harris guy still, but I think Kenny Pickett really started to figure it out as the season went on. If not for a really tough conference and a really tough division, I think, like I said, this is the best division in football, in my opinion. I think they go 10-7. Hopefully maybe a chance to sneak into the playoffs over 8.5 for sure. The streak stays alive for Mike Tomlin. And last place in the division, not because they're not going to be good, but Cleveland, I have them at 8-9 or 9-8. I would not take the over. Their over under is 9.5. They're another one of those teams. 9.5. I told you the 9.5 teams are tricky because you could see them winning 13 games. If this is old Deshaun Watson, Myles Garrett's a favorite, one of the favorites to win defensive player of the year. He could be a beast this year. All that stuff is true. Nick Chubb is the best running back in football. They have solid wide receivers. Add Elijah Mortet. It all looks really good. But what if Kevin Stefanski is not a great head coach? What if we just never see the same Deshaun Watson again? All that could also happen. And so I have Cleveland at 8-9 or 9-8 under the 9.5 win total. That leaves just two divisions. The AFC East and the NFC East. I will not give you the AFC East. That will be on the Rami Lavie podcast, which you can find anywhere you find your podcast. Not the Rami Lavie podcast. Sorry, this is the Rami Lavie podcast. You can find it on the In Flight Snack podcast, which is a Believe podcast about the New York Jets. And you could find my full AFC East preview. It'll be coming out Friday or Sunday morning, something like that, because we're previewing the Monday night game. So we don't really have to put it out right away. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, around that time, that's when that podcast is going to drop. And you'll hear all about my Jets preview with a guest or without a guest. We'll see. So that leaves the NFC East. I have the Philadelphia Eagles. Shocking. Repeating as division champs. Something that hasn't happened in the NFC. I looked it up. I didn't look it up. I heard. So I can't say I looked this up, but it hasn't happened in a long time. Maybe 11 years. Something crazy like that. That maybe even longer. 19 years. Something like that. Something in the teens between 10 and 20 years. That there hasn't been a repeat champion in the NFC East. I think this is the year. They're minus 115. They're favorites. I think they have the best roster in football still. And they only got better with Jalen Carter. Fell to them magically in the draft. Somehow it just happens that way. I think maybe Hurts takes a minor step back. And teams are ready for them. And they'll have a tougher schedule because of it. I think it's the toughest division in the NFC possibly. But I have them winning 11 games under the 11.5. which is their win total, per, you know, their over under. So I do have them going under the 11.5 at 11 wins. I have them at 11-6, finishing second in the division and just over their 9.5 projected win total or over under number. Like I said, Dallas, I have them at 10-7. I have the Giants tied with Dallas at 10-7. I think that's a safe bet too. One of my favorite bets is Giants over 7.5. I hate to say it, but I think this Giants team is really good. I'm not going to be a troll. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh my God, the Giants own the city. I hate them. No, I don't hate the Giants. I have no feelings towards the Giants. If the Giants beat the Jets, I'll be upset. If the Giants finish better than the Jets, it's just another season in the NFL. That's how it's always been my whole life. They win 2 Super Bowls. I can't hate the Giants. I have them at 10-7. I liked what I saw from them last year. Kayvon Thibodeau is a beast. Their offensive line is really good. Saquon's awesome. They got weapons for Daniel Jones. Darren Waller's essentially a huge wide receiver. Hodgins is a new wide receiver. All the different pieces they added for Daniel Jones, I really like it. And Daniel Jones really became a really, really good quarterback towards the end of the year, both running the ball and passing the ball. Turnover-free football. Brian Daboll, I think, is the best coach or one of the best coaches in the NFL. I had him at 10 in my coaching ring. The only reason I had him so low is because he's only been a head coach for 1 year, and I still had him at 10, which is pretty high up. And so I love the Giants. I think they'll be 10-7, go way over the 7.5. And I also have Washington finishing over in their over under 6.5. I have them finishing with 7-9 wins, probably 8-9, something like that. Missing the playoffs, but being a solid team this year. Again, they were a solid team last year. I'm drinking the Sam Howell Kool-Aid. I don't love Ron Rivera, but I do love what a new ownership group and a reinvigorated energy can do for an organization that starts from the top down. And I think that could be really beneficial for them. So, I gave you all of my picks for the divisions and my over-unders for all the teams outside of the AFC East. So, some of these picks will give away some of the AFC East stuff, but I'm going to give you my picks for all the awards, and I'm going to tell you who will win, my prediction for who will win the Super Bowl this year, all that and more coming up next. All right, coming back right now with my predictions for the awards. And I'll tell you, one of my predictions has a lot to do with a bold prediction that I have for this year. So I'll give you my bold prediction at the end after I pick the Super Bowl. I forgot to mention, I'm going to give you my bold predictions for this year's NFL season. 6 bold predictions. But let's start with the awards. Let's start with Comeback Player of the Year. Easy award to pick. It's going to go to DeMar Hamlin. Right now he's minus 275. He's a huge favorite. I understand it. I love it. It's a great story. You can't fight it. And if you do vote against him, I don't care if Russell Wilson's great. I don't care if Deshaun Watson's great. I don't care who's great. Lamar Jackson, if you vote against Lamar Hamlin, you're a bad person and you hate everything in life and you're just a bad person. So Lamar Hamlin's going to win it. Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I'm going in a random order, but Offensive Rookie of the Year, I'm going with my guy, Jordan Addison. Damn. I say my guy and then I can't even say his name probably. It's mostly because I have a cold. I was a little bit congested. Give me 1 second right here. All right, sorry about that. Luckily, I have a mute button on my mic, so you didn't have to hear. That was an atrocity. Hopefully, I sound a little better right now, though. I have Jordan Addison winning. He's plus 1,600. I like the value. He's 7th favorite of the favorites, or 7th best odds, or worst odds, whatever you want to call it, to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I have him, Jordan Addison, winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think playing alongside Justin Jefferson will help. I think they're going to be an offense that needs to score a ton of points because their defense stinks. They're going to be a high-powered offense, and I have Jordan Addison winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. Defensive Rookie of the Year, I mentioned him earlier, Jalen Carter. A guy like that who's the projected number one pick, slides in the draft for unknown reasons to Philly, a team that's already stacked on the defensive line. He's going to get easy sacks. He's going to make a ton of plays, tackles in the backfield. He's going to be awesome. He's plus 600. He's the second favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. That's great value for you right there also. He's second favorite, but he's plus 600. That's awesome. Go take Jalen Carter to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, the Philly rookie. Coach of the Year. This is a really hard one. He's 23rd best of his odds. He's plus 3,000. And it's difficult because he's not a new coach. He's not a shiny new toy that people are obsessed with. He's not one of these young, smart guys. He's not Kyle Shanahan. He's not, you know, any of these young guys we like to give the coaches awards to. He's not Brian Daboll last year, the new shiny toy. He's not Robert Saleh, who could be on a really fun Jets team, or Mike McDaniel, who could be on a really fun Miami team. It's John Harbaugh. But I love him. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league. I got to see him up close and personal. And I already told you I'm really high on this team. And I think there's just going to be some scenarios where they're going to mix and match and figure out ways for them to look really good. And even if they don't win the division, I think they'll win a lot of games. And I think they'll also get a lot of good media attention, good media hype of how it's worked out after what was perceived to be a shit show. Everything coming together and him bringing everyone and all those personalities together in the right way and leading that team back to the expectation. Forget about the job he did last year. The fact that they made the playoffs is crazy. He could have won Coach of the Year just for that alone. I think they'll be a really good team this year, even with good players. I think he'll stand out his performance as Coach of the Year. And I have John Harbaugh at plus 3,000 in the 23rd best odds winning Coach of the Year in the NFL. The Defensive Player of the Year. I have my guy. He's 10th right now, but Quinnen Williams. I think because a lot of the awards can be swung at times by media attention. He got a lot of media attention on Hard Knocks. I think people are going to be paying attention to him. Not necessarily looking at just the numbers. I know people in the past with interior defensive linemen or defensive linemen in general looked at not just numbers. I think we've adjusted and moved on from that already by watching Aaron Donald and giving him a Defensive Player of the Year award. He's one of the best. Naming him, crowning him the best defensive player in the league, even though he wasn't a guy who was getting a ton of sacks. Of course, he did get a lot of sacks, but he could have got even more if he was playing on the edge. I think Quinnen Williams will have enough sacks. It's on a stacked defensive line. And I think people will be watching him more closely with Aaron Rodgers on that team with so many primetime games. I think there's a storyline there, and I like Quinnen Williams to win the Defensive Player of the Year. Plus 2,500. Fantastic odds for you right there. He's the 10th favorite. The Offensive Player of the Year. I told you who I think the best team in football is going to be, and so the Offensive Player of the Year, I have Christian McCaffrey winning. What's so great about the Kyle Shanahan offense is it doesn't need a great quarterback to run it, but it does need a great skill position player. It's been Ayuk, it's been Kittle, it's been Debo, and now a full season of Christian McCaffrey. I think he'll easily catch for 1,000 yards and rush for over 1,000 yards, probably end up catching 1,500 yards and rushing for 2,500 yards, something like that. I think that's crazy numbers. He'll probably have 15 touchdowns, you know, 6 receiving touchdowns, 9 rushing touchdowns. If he stays healthy, I like it. He's 3rd favorite odds at plus 1,500. And I like Christian McCaffrey to win Offensive Player of the Year. And my MVP, and the first of my bold predictions for this NFL season, I'll give you for the rest of the other 5 a little bit later, I have Trevor Lawrence winning MVP. He's the 7th best odds at plus 1,600. I don't know. Sue me. I love Trevor Lawrence. I think he's going to have an awesome year. Let's go to the wild card round of the playoffs. Let's tell you what's going to happen in the playoffs. So the way I see it panning out is something like this. And this is based on, like I talked about, those predictions that I did where I picked every game. The way it fell out was the Jets are going to Cincinnati in the first week of the playoffs. New England. Yes, I have New England in the playoffs. So if you're curious how that happens, go listen to In Flight Snack on the Believe Podcast Network and we'll talk about it. I have them going to Kansas City in the first week, wild card week. And I have Buffalo and Miami. I guess it's Baltimore and Buffalo. So Baltimore traveling to Buffalo in week one, the first week of the playoffs. I think Baltimore wins, gets redemption. They've lost to the Bills. Lamar Jackson has lost in Buffalo in a playoff game. I think he gets redemption for that playoff game. Baltimore beats Buffalo. I have Kansas City destroying New England in the playoffs. Destroying in week one of the playoffs in the wild card round. And I have the Jets beating Cincinnati. Beating Cincinnati in Cincinnati in the playoffs in week one. Aaron Rodgers is going to go into there and beat them. Oh, yeah. But they're not a home division winner, home playoff game. They're a wild card team, clearly, right? On the NFC side in the wild card round, I do have Detroit making the playoffs going into New Orleans. I have them going into New Orleans and beating New Orleans. New Orleans is going to be hosting a playoff team. Like I said, super weak schedule. They won 11 games, but I don't think they're going very far. And I have Detroit winning a playoff game. Yeah. In New Orleans, I have them winning. I have Dallas at Philly, another rematch. That's going to be also in wild card weekend. And I have Philly beating Dallas pretty handily in that spot. And then I have the New York Giants, a rematch against Minnesota in Minnesota. And I have Minnesota this time coming out victorious, learning from last year and beating the Giants in the wild card round of the playoffs. Now, if you notice, there are two teams here, and I wrote them down somewhere on this paper. So I'm scouring the paper for two teams that win 10 games that are really good teams, but still miss the playoffs. And I wrote them down because it jumped out to me. I think they were Tennessee and Pittsburgh. or the two teams that I have, because the AFC is going to be loaded. There are going to be teams that win 10 games that don't make the playoffs in the AFC. That's how good the AFC is this year. So it's Tennessee and Pittsburgh. I have as 10 win teams that miss the playoffs. It's tough, but it's going to be tough to get into the playoffs in the AFC this year. It's just a stacked conference. So Pittsburgh, I told you how much I love Kenny Pickett. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a playoff spot for them or the Tennessee Titans. I love Mike Vrabel and I love that team. I love Derrick Henry. But two teams that I think win 10 games but miss the playoffs, that's crazy that you're going to have that in the conference. I wish they could take some playoff team spot in the NFC. Give them a New Orleans spot. I don't know. Give them the Giants spot. Give them Detroit spot. The second round of the playoffs, the one seeds now come into play, which are Jacksonville in my picture. And I have, obviously, San Francisco in my picture. I have Baltimore at Kansas City and the Jets at Jacksonville. I have Kansas City beating Baltimore. You heard me. Kansas City beating Baltimore at home. And I have the Jets winning their second consecutive road playoff game going into Jacksonville, the MVP, the best record in the league. And a taste of your own medicine. You lost last year, you had a crazy comeback win last year in the playoffs. This year, you're losing in the playoffs. I have the Jets going into Jacksonville. The veteran showing the young quarterback in Trevor Lawrence saying, haha, you think the Jets missed out on getting you? No, it only led them to get me. And the Jets are winning. They're beating Jacksonville. Yeah, this is some fantasy land. But I see it happening. I'm strong. I believe in the Jets. Believe in the Jets. And in the division round, I'm just going this far. I'm going week by week because I just want to play it out for the Super Bowl. I know it's so stupid. It's so far out. Who knows what's going to happen? But this is just predictions for the hell of predictions. Philly at Minnesota is the other game. I don't know how it ended up being Philly at Minnesota. I guess I have Minnesota at 12-5 and Philly at 11-6. There you go. So Philly at Minnesota. I have Philly winning in Minnesota, doing the dirty work the Giants couldn't. And then Detroit at San Francisco. San Francisco is going to wipe the floor with Detroit. They might score 3 points that whole game. So it gives you a rematch of San Francisco and Philadelphia in the conference finals in the NFC, and Kansas City hosting the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, the most hyped team in the NFL. In the AFC, I have Kansas City beating the Jets, and I have San Francisco beating the Niners. And that means a rematch of the Super Bowl in 2020, the pandemic season, right before the pandemic hit. Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl against the Niners. I have a rematch of that Super Bowl, and I have the result being the same. Kansas City winning the Super Bowl. Kansas City right now are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. It's a little chalk, but I'm going to keep betting it until something else happens because they are so good. I have them at plus 600 to win the Super Bowl, and I have the Niners at plus 400, though, to win the NFC. I like that a lot. Now, we talked about my awards. We talked about my Super Bowl prediction. Let me give you five. I already gave you one. So let's give you six total, but five more bold predictions for the NFL season. I have six bold predictions coming up for this NFL season. Number one is the Jacksonville Jaguars will be the number one seed in the AFC, and Trevor Lawrence will win the NFL MVP. Number two, and I already mentioned this as well, the Chargers are going to miss the playoffs this year. I have them going under their over-under win total of 9.5, and I have them missing the playoffs this year. Number three, I have the Patriots winning 10 to 11 games. I didn't think it was going to happen, but I went through their schedule, and I was like, oh, that's a win. That's a win. I don't like betting against Bill Belichick when everyone's counting him out. Their over-under is 7.5 for win totals. I have them winning way over. I have them winning at least 10 games, possibly 11, and maybe even sneaking into the playoffs like I mentioned earlier. Number four, I have Houston as the worst record in the NFL. The reason why this is a bold prediction, I know they're a really bad team, but everyone's looking at Vegas. It's a tougher division. Arizona, because they stink. So everyone's looking at these other teams that are either in tough divisions or just god-awful teams. Tampa Bay. But I have Houston beating everyone out for the worst record in football, the Houston Texans. Number five, and this is what I talked about. I have Tennessee and Pittsburgh winning 10 games each, but missing the playoffs. And number six, and really this is my number one bold prediction for the NFL season this year. And you know I host a Jets podcast called In-Flight Snack on the Believe Podcast Network. I don't know if you've heard, but if you're a Jet fan, you're going to hate me for this. I think Sam Darnold is going to start in the NFL Super Bowl this season. Call me crazy, but there's a little bit of love between Shanahan and Sam Darnold right now. Let's not forget, Brock Purdy has torn ligaments in his arm. Are we trusting that kid to play a full season? This is Mr. Irrelevant. There are so many scouts, so many people looking at this kid every single day, evaluating him. And all of a sudden, all those people missed it. None of them got it right. This kid's going to be fantastic. And he's not going to need someone to step in. They trade away Trey Lance, who they traded all their picks away to get Trey Lance, but they trade him away because they trust so much in Sam Darnold to be the backup quarterback. You don't have to do much in that offense to be great. The defense is going to be insane. It's going to be one of the best defenses in football. Again, the offense is going to be so simple to run. Ayuk, Kittle, Debo, Christian McCaffrey. I have him winning offensive rookie or offensive player of the year. I don't have Sam Darnold being anything great. I just think at some point in the season, he's going to take over the starting role from Purdy. And I think they're going to ride him because he's going to be hot. And they'll ride him into the playoffs. And he's going to start the Super Bowl for the 49ers because the 49ers are going to be in the Super Bowl. Not even so much because of Sam Darnold. But that's my number one bold prediction for this NFL season. Sam Darnold. Yes, the same Sam Darnold who's seeing ghosts with the Jets a couple years ago. The biggest slap in the face. They've had Zach Wilson since then. They go out and get Aaron Rodgers since then. And while the Jets are sitting on their couch watching the Super Bowl, they're going to be watching their former quarterback, Sam Darnold, starting the game. Not because he's a great quarterback. Not because they really messed up with him. They did. Not because they messed up by moving off of him. I think Aaron Rodgers is a far better quarterback in 2023 than Sam Darnold. But I think if I had to pick one of them who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl this year, I'd pick Sam Darnold. And I think he's starting it for the Niners this year. That's going to do it for the podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening and subscribing. We'll talk about my job. We'll talk about the Yankees. We'll talk about so many other things. We'll pick every single game, which reminds me, how could I forget? I have to pick Thursday Night Football. So quickly, let's go on FanDuel. I have it out here in front of me. The NFL. There. The line, as of now, is Chiefs minus 5.5. It's moved around a lot because of the Kelce injury. But it's Chiefs minus 5.5. I like the Chiefs minus 5.5. That's my pick, Chiefs minus 5.5. If I wanted to give you a bet that I really like in this game, if I would told you I'm a little bit nervous about Chiefs minus and a half, what I'll do here is this is a Rami play. Everyone knows the Rami plays. I have under the total of 52.5 for the game and under and the Chiefs money line at minus 230. If you parlay those two together, that's plus 167 odds on FanDuel. So the Chiefs to win and the under 52.5 to hit in what could be a very sloppy first game of the year. That is my bet. That is my bet for Thursday Night Football. We'll have all my bets for the Sunday games, and then we'll talk about Monday Night Football and pick that on In-Flight Snack. Until next time, like, subscribe, share it with a friend. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, peace out, boys. You were the best nights of my life. You got the light that always shines. I miss the way that you move and the way I get high when you take me to your heights, like I'm standing in the sky. I see your subway cars and road graffiti. I breathe your air when I land in another city. I'll be that one that's got you printed on my bones. Yeah, you're all I know. Everywhere I go, oh, I changed it up, oh, oh, always on my road, I'm still New York. You're the only, oh, oh, now I'll never know, oh, oh, my concrete walls, I'm still New York. I'm still New York. Ooh. Oh, I'm still New York. Ooh. Yeah, I wanna drive down. See the birds flying on the high line. With the sidewalks burning, we pray for rain in July. I want the Yankees 99, yeah. And the Knicks on a sold out night. When the curtains close and the Broadway streets are alive, hey. I need your heartbeat close, don't you ever leave me. And I breathe your air when I land in another city. And I'll be that one that's got you printed on my bones. Yeah, you're all I know. Always on my road, I'm still New York. You're the only, oh, oh, now
State, born and raised, I was God sent. I used to hit them courts, y'all didn't prospect. Take them long walks, all my time spent. Just a kid with that empire, stay the mindset. Kick flipping off a blind deck. Dipping from the New York City's finest, yeah. Said I've been up on my New York shit. Walking down the block with my New York bitch. I can never leave my city, ain't nothing like it. Even if I do, though, I can never hide it. Top down on the west side when I'm driving. East side be the only side that I'm riding. And I'm still New York.
I ain't changed it all. I'm still young.